Just hit it. Just
keep all going. Right, here we go.
Just talking just like this.
So I wanted to pass along, and you know this too, Alpha, Dan Bongino is a huge influence for us.
Sure.
Listen to him all the time. He's one of those guys I wish I could have worked with in the police, you know, as an EMS provider, firefighter. He would have been one of those police officers that have your back while we're doing our job, and we'd have his back while he's doing his.
Yeah, he seemed like he would have been an excellent person to work with.
Yes. We started this podcast way back when we were inspired to, you know, do matters. Anyway, Dan lost his mom suddenly. Yeah. And myself and Alpha want to express our sincerest condolences to Dan and his family. He had a rough go with it. And of course, anyone, when you lose someone, it's very personal and it's sudden. And the grieving process is unpredictable to anybody. When Dan was talking about that early in the morning when he was woken up, he didn't see his text because there was on Do Not Disturb, and he felt his mom's presence at the time of her death. He was kind of like grabbed. He felt like he was grabbed. So that to me is one of those spiritual moments that I'm very honored he shared that with us on his podcast and on his radio show. And I just want to pass along to him how I hope God's light shines on him and his family so he has the strength to get through it. So that was the thing that I wanted to pass along. And you already knew that too, Alpha. So there you have it.
It's unfortunate, but you know, life goes on, right?
It does, but doesn't mean that you can't send wishes of comfort towards those who are, you know, going through a tough time. Anyway, so with that being said, some of the other things that are going on, so... The decision that Fannie Willis gets to stay on the case despite the complete, which I think this is the ongoing pattern, and this is the, I can give examples I think are where the elites are basically getting away with everything they want to because they're the ones in power. And this Fannie Willis is just like the fourth in the row of people that were not prosecuted, like Hunter Biden, like Joe Biden, Hillary Clinton. I mean, who else can you think of that they come out with these cockamamie excuses why, yes, all these evidence, yes, there's clear evidence to show that they did wrongdoing and they did things that they shouldn't have. But
nothing to see here.
Nothing to see here. Move along.
Well,
meanwhile, someone's life, like President Trump, is in the balance, right?
Hold on a minute. Back up.
Back the bus. Am I getting ahead of myself again?
You're way ahead of yourself. And
all right, fine.
There's an awful lot going on, and it's incredibly frustrating. Yep. And you just want to get out your feelings about all the things. And everybody does want to do that. Just hold on a minute. Let's look at what you just said about Fannie Willis.
Okay.
Let's talk about it.
Sure. Because I'm just saying that she's the 10th in a row of this nonsense that happens.
Well, there's a whole other direction I could certainly take a conversation with her, and it's just not worth it. This isn't over yet. I get it. It's frustrating. It's stupid.
Mm-hmm.
This dipshit judge is up for re-election, right?
Right.
Okay, so he's got to play like, oh, okay, I got to cut him loose, but her, she can stay kind of thing, or when he has to go kind of thing. And that's a shit decision. It's a cowardly decision.
Mm-hmm.
My understanding, and not a lawyer, but I know somebody who is, so I'm sure that we'll figure that shit out tomorrow at some point when I get a breath to have a conversation with somebody. Work is trying to murder me. I think what's going to happen next, I think that the Trump team, when the trial starts, I think they can move to have her, you know, removed or recused from the case.
Mm-hmm.
are removed from the case. I think they can file a motion. I don't know the judge that's going to hear the case. Is it the same judge?
The same judge is hearing the case for the other defendant that is, you know, like in a separate case. Okay. But Fanny is the one that's prosecuting all these cases. And
she's the district attorney.
Correct. And now she has a credibility problem. Again, I'm not an attorney either, but I, you know, play enough of them on TV, I guess, but
no shit, especially reading contracts. I should have gone to law school for contracts. My God, it would have been really handy.
But again, this is experiential learning at its finest. Now I'm just looking at the obvious facts. How can you present a case when your integrity is being questioned? And there were already points in his decision that said that she acted inappropriately. So
of course, they can probably move to have her disqualified. It's the dog catcher.
Right.
It's the dog catcher. It's the same situation as the fucking dog catcher.
Mm-hmm.
If you've got the power to make somebody's life absolutely legally miserable by using the tools that are given to you by the state to do it,
mm-hmm.
you better be 100% above board when you do. Because if you're not, well, what the fuck?
Right.
Then that doesn't make any sense, right?
Well, you're talking about corruption.
Well, it absolutely is corruption.
So the judge is corrupt because he's trying to get reelected. However, there's clear evidence to show.
I think he was within his legal lane to make the decision he made, though.
Yeah.
It was probably the stupid decision, but he was probably in the lane.
No, but what I'm saying, when I talk about the corruption part of it is he knows Fanny from, he worked for her at first. He was appointed by the governor, who's a rhino to begin with, Kemp. Brian Kemp is a rhino to begin with.
Well, sure, he's terrible.
And this judge who made, McAfee, who made this horrible decision based on circular logic. I mean, he could have consulted Vice President Harris for the word salad that he put together.
Oh my God.
But the logic doesn't make any sense because if A then B or P then Q, Q doesn't come out the right way. Right? I mean, it's just nuts.
You're 100% right. Now pull the thread a little bit. Now, both of these assholes acted equally inappropriately enough for one of them to get thrown out of the court. So which one was worse and which one was better, right? They both did the same shit.
Yeah, but let's think about that.
How do you, wait a minute.
Yeah.
One rotten apple spoils the entire barrel.
Correct.
And which one is the fucking rotten apple? I think they're both rotten apples, don't you?
Well, this is where the corruption
comes. The judge made a dumb shit decision.
No. No, I don't agree with you on that part of it. I agree with you on the premise. The corruption part of this.
Oh,
the judge wanted to keep Fannie Willis in play because no one else is going to take up this case. It'll die on the vine. You know, the Trump case is going to die on its vine. And remember, this is a state-level case.
Yeah.
That's immune to federal jurisdiction.
That's right.
And if he is convicted, then he's got a whole bunch of aggravation, even when he's in office, when he's in jail. You know, they're doing this on purpose. It's a lawfare approach. The Democrats are doing this on purpose. Soros is doing this on purpose. Biden wants it done. You know, they've been working with the Biden administration.
Obama.
So there's your string pull. That's why this judge did not remove Fanny or left it to Fanny to decide who's going to go. And, of course, Wade's going to go because he's an idiot. And that we talked about this from before, where the arrogance and the pomposity of how dare, you know, you worry about us elites over here because we're going to have fun and we're going to keep our power at all costs because this is how we have our fun. And you serfs, you non-elitists down there will do as we say, not as we do. So there you have it.
Power to the people, man.
Yeah. Well, again, when you don't have the ability to, use common sense, then I guess common sense has to come out some way or the other.
I don't know, man. What you're saying is 100% right. It's to me the dog catcher theory. It's all the dog catcher theory.
Mm-hmm.
You know, not to get into gross detail about it, but the thing about it is if you're entrusted with enforcing laws as enacted by legislation voted on by the people, et cetera, et cetera. If you're that's a high level of trust
mm-hmm.
in a society. And if you are going to hold people to any kind of standard, then everything about you better be beyond reproach.
That's what I'm saying.
I know that's what you're saying. It's the dog catcher theory. Mm-hmm. Even the dog catcher's got to be beyond reproach.
Right.
Uncorruptible. And that's very hard to find people that want to enter government that are uncorruptible. Especially if you had lower level bureaucrats, because there's no money to be had there.
No, but I mean, even the idea of retirement and pensions, those are going away in, at the government levels. And, you know, the famous jobs that, you know, the benefits that went along with it, they're not there anymore.
Well, hold on a minute now. You're onto something there. And because I was thinking about that earlier, not to change the topics, but you know, people used to want to go to work for municipalities for job security, the pensions, the benefits, the et cetera, right?
Correct.
People wanted to join the fire department because of the benefits package and the schedule and the thises and the thatses, right? And people wanted to be cops because of the pension plan and the opportunity to triple your retirement pension salary in your last 3 years. That's why guys work like 80 hours a week for the last 2 years of their careers.
That's right.
In the Minneapolis Police Department, because I know a lot of guys who did that. They're making $240,000, $250,000. They take the average of the three and take a percentage of that. That's your pension payout every month.
Correct.
Your last three working years, I believe it was in
That's
Minneapolis.
Right. Yep.
Okay. So a lot of people, that was very, very attractive. Those pensions are all unfunded. They're all unfunded.
Yes.
And there's literally no money to pay them. When does that fail?
It's coming soon to a theater near you.
How much? We've talked about this before, maybe a long, long time ago. One of the things that keeps me awake at night is when I used to live at home where we were born. You know what mm-hmm. I'm saying?
Oh, yeah.
A lot of people that work for the town, the city, the state, the county, the village. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
I knew a lot of those guys from the fire department, right?
Yes.
And they're all like, oh, my pension's going to be great when I retire. My pension's going to be great. We're the last ones that would even have the opportunity at a pension.
Right.
And the guys that have the pension, when they start collecting it, there's nothing backing the pension in that county. The pension fund is unfunded to a tune of like $4 or $5 billion.
That's correct.
It's absurd.
Yes.
That's just one county.
Correct.
Does anybody get it yet?
What do you think they fined President Trump? $450 million plus and going to fund, you know, it's going to the state. Where do you think it's going to go? To the pensions. If they can get their hands on it.
Or to plug the gigantic budget deficit that New York City seems to be running in the $2.78 billion range.
Well, who asked them to invite all
the DNC
illegal, did. You know, the illegal immigrants.
The DNC did. You know, the
illegal aliens.
Well, you know, the left-wing power brokers got a hold of Eric Adams and said, hey, man, you better take that Statue of Liberty business pretty seriously, or the next go-around, we're going to do you.
That's right.
And that's what happened in New York City. Flush it down the toilet.
Which brings me to
financial shit. Yes.
Right, you know, so let's think about, let's as you like to say, pull on the thread a little bit. So what was the answer? Because my family members, I have two of them that benefit from government pensions, which, you know, one was military and one was state.
You know, yeah. good for them.
And put their time in, and they're collecting their pension, which is great. And they have health insurance for life, yep. which is nice.
Yep.
But I didn't choose to go into the government role. And when I was younger, I was advised that the best thing to do for retirement is, you know, you have to do it on your own. You have to do it for yourself. And that was the 401k. Yep. And this was just coming out. Kemp. It was just coming out when I started working back in the 90s.
That's right.
Right. And how did they tout this? You were there too. Sure. You know, I started working at the same time.
What a great way to save for your retirement. There's no tax on the money.
It reduces your taxable liability.
Your overall taxable income at no penalty to you. You get to put the money over here. And what they don't tell you is...
There's more.
However...
they were matching it dollar for dollar at the time.
Oh, yes.
Dollar for dollar. I was matched dollar for dollar in that year. When this all started, right? They wanted to get people hooked on it, okay? So then... and I was at my first job for 4 years, and you know, I was taking out the max that I could, you know, because I'm young and I didn't have family at the time. And yes, I'm gonna take responsibility. I'm gonna do my own retirement, right?
Yeah.
So here we go. The next job was another private group. So it was a 401k until I went to another group. You know, this is 12 years later. And then you start, you know, going from one job to the other, and you have to roll it over into a specified IRA rollover where you take these funds and you put them into an IRA rollover because you still can't touch them. Keep that in mind, everyone. You cannot touch this stuff.
Right.
So it was a 403B, which are similar rules, except it's for a not-for-profit organization. But now I'm starting to get matched 4% for every dollar I put in.
Right.
Now, that helped me out here with my math. You are the mathematician, my friend.
I am not a mathematician.
You're better at it than I am, but that's 4 cents for every dollar.
Correct. 4% of a dollar is 4 cents, yes.
4 cents. So I'm going from a dollar match, dollar for dollar, plus bonuses. The bonuses would just go right in there. There was now a max. You cannot do more than, at the time, it was like $24,000 a year.
That's right.
Right? And a 4% match... that's $2,400, if I'm not mistaken. Is that right?
No. 4% of...
24,000.
Is like 8 grand or something like that.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yes, you're correct. 4 cents for every dollar. Right.
Yeah, it's like 8 grand.
Okay. Which is bupkis, in my opinion. Right?
Well, I wouldn't. You know, throw $8,000 out of my bank account. I mean, but okay.
No. I hear you. I'm just saying, looking back
at
it.
That's more to your point, actually.
Yes. So here you go. The money starts amassing and starts getting up there, and you want to go buy a house.
There's no tax. It's no taxes.
No taxes, and it lowers your yearly salary. What you're paying on taxes, it catches you out of the, let's just say the 190,000 or 200, let's just say 200,000 payable thing down to 180 or whatever, right? Because it knocks you down 20,000 because that's what you made in your 401k. Now, fast forward to life changes. Okay. You want to buy a house. Now, the logical thing to do when you buy a house is go find a mortgage, and for 2-point-something% way back in the 2000s, right?
Yeah, way back in the last administration,
right.
1.99% mortgages for good credit with 20% down.
So you leave that money alone. It sits in the account, you know, your 401k rollover, wherever it is, when you're...
yeah.
Actively working at a place, you still got to keep it in there, and your financial planner can't touch it. They had to use their financial planner. Keep that in mind, financial planner. Keep that in mind. We'll talk about that in a second.
Yes.
and I want to buy a car, or I want to buy a house, but I'm going to take out a mortgage. Why? Because a mortgage is a better idea. 2% versus the return you're getting is maybe 8%, 10%, whatever it is. And then fast forward to your financial planner who takes out, I noticed one year they were taking out about $1,000 in service fees, and they're controlling the funds, you know, where the funds are, and they're making money off of the, you know, it's a, what is it?
They take a commission.
They take commissions off of that. Okay.
You're getting nickeled and dimed to death with a financial planner.
Thank you. So the financial planners are making money. And what stays, where's all this money placed into, my friend Alpha? Where does it go? It's in the markets. Stock market.
It's all in the markets.
Right.
Yeah. It's all in different funds and all sorts of different places they put retirement money.
So getting back to some of the ideas, so they sell you on this idea that you can, it's tax-free, it'll lower your taxable income every year. Oh, by the way, you can't touch it. Why? Because if you do take it out before you're 59 and a half, you're getting a 10% wallop for whatever you're taking out, plus the income tax bracket that you would have made when you put it in there in the first place. In other words, you want to take out $100,000? Not only is $10,000 of that going to...
That's off the top.
That's off the top. That's your penalty for taking out too early. But now you're paying...
You'll wind up with about $62,000.
Yes, $40,000 minus the taxes. Right, because you take... It's almost half. And if you live in a state that taxes you, like New York... You
get state tax, too.
You got to pay state tax. Now, so it hurts more at the end of it, because you want to take it out, but you can't because you're going to get walloped with the taxes, right?
Oh, you're going to get creamed.
Right. Now, let me ask you a question, Alpha. If you were to have bypassed the 401k system because they're trying to sell you a bill of goods because they don't want the money to be accessible to you, what happens if you don't make it to 59 and a half? God forbid something happens.
Gone.
Well, the money,
it's got to be declared to a beneficiary.
Goes to a beneficiary, and you know where that has to go? It has to go into a death IRA rollover, inherited IRA rollover.
Yes.
Or you get taxed on it to death, plus the 10% penalty.
Yes.
Okay.
And then when you're dead, there's still... It's like necrophilia.
Right. They're taxing you there anyway.
You're dead, and you're getting screwed while you're dead.
Your family members are getting screwed. Now, let me ask you this question.
Sure.
If let's just say you make it to, you know, you want to retire at whatever age, and you've got $500,000 sitting in your IRA, your Roth IRA,
yes.
Right? Or excuse me, not Roth IRA, timeout. I make too much. You can't do a Roth IRA because you have to make less than a certain amount per year. And if you don't, then you can't touch it. So the Roth IRA was a good idea, except I had one and I couldn't use it because I made too much. Okay. So I want to buy another house or I want to go on vacation, or I want to buy a car or an airplane or whatever I want to do.
Sure.
And I want to take out $250,000 for an airplane. So okay. I got to pay income tax on, so I have $500,000. So I'd have to pay $250,000 in taxes. I don't have to pay the penalty because I'm over 59 and a half at the time. And then you'll have $250,000 to go buy your airplane.
You'll have just as much money in the bank at the end of the day as you would have had you put it away in cash to begin with.
Thank you, sir. Yes.
With no restriction on liquidity.
That's right. That is correct. Isn't that something?
Isn't that special?
That is special. So what is it? Let's answer some questions that I now have. Thinking about this.
Okay.
So you're not allowed to touch the money.
Right.
If you want to touch the money when you're retired, you can't take it all out at once. Am I correct?
Do they ever pay some sort of heavy tax?
Right. You have to pay heavy taxes when you go to take it out.
If it's over a certain amount, yeah.
Right.
Heavy tax.
Yeah. Heavy taxes over a certain amount. And if you want to pass it on or use it for something that you want to buy because you need it, you need the money again, you're still in the same predicament because you have to pay the taxes on it anyway.
And you could disqualify yourself from Social Security if you exceed a certain amount of income for the year.
Oh, that I did not know. Really?
I'm not sure about that one, but it makes sense to me that if you have some kind of a blip like that,
yeah,
that maybe Social Security be washed out for you for the year. They'd consider that a high income year. So,
but you're still paying taxes on Social Security, so who gives a flying rip, right? Yeah,
that's another fucking rip off.
It is, because you and I are not going to see it. Or we might see a reduced amount, or not until we're 75, whichever comes first. Anyway.
Well, that's another gigantic unfunded liability, right?
Oh, yeah. Because they
broke into the Social Security Trust Fund.
Right.
Democrats broke into that and stole that money, too.
That's right. I was about to say the lockbox wasn't so secure.
Yeah, not really. They smashed the lock off of that one, and they raped and pillaged it, and it's gone, and people don't understand that. No one's talking about it.
No, they're not, but we are, because I'm sitting here thinking to myself, is the 401k really, really worth it?
Hey, listen, when life throws you a couple of lefts and a couple of rights and a couple of uppercuts and a kick to the groin once in a while, which it tends to do,
right?
Start asking a lot of questions and really start rethinking your position on a lot of issues. And the whole, as we get closer to retirement, right?
Right.
That whole question of what does that look like? You know, what have I done with my money that's right, wrong, or indifferent, et cetera, et cetera? You know, those questions start, am I making the right decisions? You know, what have I learned?
Oh,
and both of us have learned a lot.
Yes. So
not all those lessons have been easy.
No, but I'm wondering if because the stock market right now is so pumped up on these 401k funds, right? You're not going to be able to touch it. Right, you're not going to be able to take the money out if you need it.
I don't think that there's enough money. It's again another. If there was a run on all the 401ks and everybody decided at one time to pull their money out of the market, that'd be a run, right?
Right.
Would there be enough money in the system to cover those liabilities, or is it all just artificial? And what's the, you know, how secure is that money? Is it, are you going to have access to that money?
It sounds like you're not going to have access.
Well, it sounds like, as long as it's not cold, hard cash in your hand, somebody can sure take that money away from you really, really easy. Those are just ones and zeros, man.
I know.
That's not a hard asset. That's an abstract concept of currency.
So let's pretend for a second that you have the ability to correct, or something happens and, you know, that money's gone and you had to do it, build it all over again. I'm not sure I'm going to run and start doing it, putting into a 401k.
Oh, I would buy
gold.
I would put it away. No, I wouldn't buy gold. I would not buy gold. That is way too volatile.
Mm.
And it is way too expensive to get into it.
Mm. Well, you got to have a big safe.
Well, you can buy a shitload of silver.
Yeah.
You know, spot price of silver has gone up. You know, it's been a good and solid investment.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's going to drop, but I don't think the demand for silver is going to go down. I think it's going to hold a good value.
Mm-hmm.
If the shit hits the fan, silver is a really nice thing to have because it's reasonable.
Right.
How do you spend a gold bar when the shit hits the fan? Riddle me that.
Yeah, a gold bar is not going to.
That gold bar, that ounce of gold that you paid $1,800 for, you need a chicken to eat. Are you going to give somebody $1,800 worth of gold? No.
Yeah.
So silver is a hell of a lot better option, isn't it?
Yeah, I think so.
It just takes a lot of space to make up that kind of money. I have a shitload of silver. Mm-hmm. I have a shitload of silver. I bought it when it was like $11 an ounce.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
I bought a lot of it.
So let's, okay. So precious metals is one option. Now Bitcoin is a whole nother
shit show. I'd say the farthest fuck away from that crypto shit is as humanly possible.
I get it. It's another type of market though. But I mean, when you think about the, you know, like each of the cryptos are of itself, like a stock fund itself. And it runs off it's just new and not a lot of people understand it, but I will say El Salvador is having a very good run with it right now. El Salvador is doing very well with Bitcoin. They switched over to Bitcoin as their currency, and they are just making money hand over fist. And they're doing very well.
Somebody's pissed about that.
I'm sorry?
Somebody has to be super pissed off about that.
The World Bank is very pissed off about it.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
So I understand what you're saying. I'm trying to think of alternatives. I mean, you can put it into a CD. You're probably going to do just as well with a CD and have control of it, you know.
To an extent.
To an extent, right?
But you can't liquidate that money in an emergency, though. You can't do anything with it. You're locked in for a term.
Right. So then you put it into a savings account and you're making 5% there, or a mutual fund, you know, somewhere.
Which, you know, I'd be real cautious of the markets right now. I've been very, very trepidatious of the markets for a couple of years now.
Right.
Do you remember when I pulled all my money out of the market?
Yeah. And you just left it into
I put it into a money market just to let it sit there and just chill, right?
Right.
Well, I'm certainly glad I did that, or I would have lost a considerable chunk of my net worth.
Sure.
In like the blink of an eye. Right. Okay. So I managed to preserve that.
Sure.
To an extent.
Although inflation, I have to bring this up though. Inflation's not helping you at all.
Well, that's what I mean by to an extent, right?
Okay.
Nobody counted on 8% year over year inflation.
Yeah, but if you talk to the Biden administration, we're not at 8%, we're at 2.4.
I think we're at 14 personally.
Yes, I agree with you. We are at 14, probably 18. Because they're not including the stuff that it costs, what costs what, really, you know, in true form.
Well, wait a minute. So let's hold on a second.
All right.
Oh, pardon me. I should hit the cough button here. Hold on. I have a cough button now.
You have a cough button, and your camera is giving me a seizure. So.
Well, that's a test. We're just going to make sure you're not epileptic. Tell you what we're going to do. We'll just shut that off for you. Okay. Is that better?
All right.
Yeah, you looked like you were going to seize for a minute there. Sorry about that. So you know that I keep an eye on like I'm a big fan of like looking at the car market and watching vehicles. And kind of stalking something that I kind of like want to learn more about and potentially, you know, position myself for a future buy on something. You know how I do that, right?
That's right.
Slow, deliberate over a period of time to make the proper decision, right?
Sure. Slow and steady wins the race. Gotcha.
Well, yes, and understanding what it is that you're buying, I think, helps too. Being an educated consumer, I like to know.
Oh, yeah.
I like to know as much as I can about where I'm going to put my money. Mm-hmm. So I've been looking at pickup trucks.
Pick 'em up trucks.
Now, this is a discussion about where I'll get to where I want to go here in just a minute. It's about the economy, okay? It's about the economy. So I'm looking at pickup trucks.
Okay.
You know, there's two kinds of pickup trucks, right? Or actually three kinds. There's your small and mid-sized pickup trucks, your like your little Ford Rangers, your Toyota Tacoma, they're both pretty good trucks, okay?
Yep.
If you want a small truck, they're consumer grade, they're just an automobile with a bed on the back. They hold no value, but they cost a shitload of money, except the Toyota holds value.
I was going to say Tacoma holds its value. People love their Tacomas.
Oh, they're a wonderful vehicle. It's a 4Runner with a bed on the back. That's
right.
What it is,
right.
Essentially. fantastic vehicle. The Tacoma will hold its value. Okay, but that's not the story here. Then you step up to your full-size vehicles. I looked at full-size vehicles because that's kind of like where I need to be with a crew cab kind of thing.
Half ton.
I was looking at a half ton. Well, I'm getting there. Hold on a minute.
All right.
Just hold on. There's a point here, I promise.
All right.
I'm looking at half-ton pickup trucks. I looked at Nissan. I looked at Chevy. I looked at Ford.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, GMC. Okay, I wanted to look at a Nissan to see what it is that they did with a truck, because Nissan doesn't make a bad truck. They really don't. Their Frontier is actually a very good pickup truck.
I was going to say, yeah.
But Nissan shit is like expensive as hell.
Right.
Here's a perfect example. The Nissan Titan pickup truck. This is the example I'm going to give you.
Mm-hmm.
On the lot, off-road package, half-ton pickup truck. It can't haul a fifth wheel. It can't pull more than like 12,000 pounds tops. Right. Okay. Can't have a tongue weight over 1,000 pounds, et cetera. You understand what I'm getting at.
I towed RVs for a long time. I know what you're saying.
Right. It is a half ton vehicle with limited capability. They want $62,000 for that.
Wow.
Do you know what that truck is worth with 30,000 miles on it?
I think it goes down to about 20, 25.
Well, the market on them is 38.
38? Okay. I was off by that.
Now, I'm looking at half-ton pickup trucks, and I looked at the Chevy and the Ford, and they're all equally priced.
They're like $80,000, aren't they?
Oh, they're fucking ridiculous for a pickup truck.
Brand new. We're talking brand new.
Brand new. Drive it off the lot with the window sticker in it, okay?
Yep.
Now, this is something very interesting about value in the economy. So I looked at all these pickup trucks, and I checked them out online, and what it does is it captures cookies if you're registered with Google and you get marketed to.
Mm-hmm.
So the vehicles that you look at come in your email because I choose to receive these emails.
Mm-hmm.
Because I want to watch them. I want to watch the values. In the past month, the half-ton pickup trucks have gone down by an average of $4,200 off of the sticker price.
Mm-hmm. And that includes the markup, right? They were doing a lot of marking up, too, over the last couple of years.
I'm talking about sticker price.
No. They were going above manufacturer MSRP.
Oh, that shit is over. Oh, that shit's over.
Okay, that's what I was getting at.
There's no like high demand surcharge. There's no more thievery going on as far as that goes.
Right. Good.
They've taken like $4,200 to $4,300 off on the average on these half ton pickup trucks that I've looked at.
Okay.
Think about that for a quick second. In a month, what's the number one selling vehicle in the United States, my friend? Ford F-150 pickup truck.
Right. And they're still $70,000 brand new off the lot. F-150.
They're dropping. I've seen them drop by as much as $9,000 off a sticker for a Ford F-150.
That's still a chunk of change. $60,000 is a huge amount.
Did you know how many F-150 pickup trucks are backed up in Michigan right now that nobody wants?
Well, are they electrified? Electrified?
No.
Okay. So these are gas-powered. Are they doing the V6 turbo BS?
Yes. They're all EcoBoost.
Yeah. So let me just stop for a second. I want to talk about that. No. Well, hold on. No, thank you.
Let's talk about the economy first. Yeah.
Okay.
All right. $9,000 a truck off on F-150.
And what's the demand for these, by the way? I don't mean to interrupt. We'll talk about the economy part of this. Is there a demand for a V6 turbocharged engine on an F-150?
Truck guys know that that's the wrong way to go.
Oh, thank you. That was the only point I wanted to bring up. Okay, continue, Your Honor.
So that is an indicator of the market and the economy, the number one selling vehicle in the country, all of a sudden that commanded a premium price, you know, 4, 5, 6 months ago.
For a V8, by the way. V8.
Well, no, even for the EcoBoost V6.
Okay. Sorry.
Okay. People were buying them then. They were buying them.
All right.
The prices have dropped like a stone. They can't sell them because nobody can get financed.
Ah, that's what you're bringing.
The interest rates are 7.99% on a new vehicle loan.
Wow. There's your real inflation indicator right there.
Oh yeah. That the automakers, you know, President Trump got his ass in the sling over the weekend, which is not such a big deal over these. He was referring to what's going to happen to the auto industry as a bloodbath. Well, the economy is going to be the driver of the bloodbath for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
In every market. That's what he's talking about, the market.
Yeah, the news was trying to spin that, what he said. It was,
I know. Yeah.
But what he was getting at was actually true. When you listen, I heard the speech.
Yeah.
Yeah. He was talking about a bloodbath for everybody because the economy is not going to care what socioeconomic part you are in the economy.
No, the facts don't care about your feelings equation.
Yep.
And the problem is the automakers are a big part of the economy in this country, correct?
Oh, yes.
And the ecological standards have really stifled the green agenda, has really put a damper on people's enthusiasm for automobiles.
So let me give you an example. CAFE standards, right? You're talking about those things, right? And the, you know, all the greenies out there want to, you know, limit, you know, exhaust. That's all fine and dandy. But the problem is they put so many different things on it. Like, for instance, what drives you nuts? What drives me nuts on my vehicle is the auto stop. I'm always disengaging that auto stop. You're sitting at a light, car turns off. Do you know the most wear and tear that happens on a vehicle and how much fuel it takes to start a car every single time you start it? Is ridiculous. Hmm. So that thing gets turned off right away. It's better for the car to idle than it is to shut off and then you have to restart it when you hit the accelerator and you got a delay in getting going. Sometimes you need to get going quick, right? You follow me?
Oh, hold on a second. I just had a rental car with that bullshit in it.
Yep.
And the first thing you do is you look for the damn switch.
That's right. That is a checklist item. When I start that car, when I start my car, my finger goes to the auto stop. It goes to the lane keep assist button because you got to turn that on every single time. And then I hit the drive button. That's what I do. That's my checklist every single time.
In your four-cylinder turbocharged CAFE standard. No, actually, you got the six.
I had the multi-port electronic fuel injected V6.
Six.
Because I got sick and tired of that CAFE standard BS four-cylinder 1.5 liter turbocharged engine. I'm thinking to myself, boy, these valves are going to need to be cleaned out someday. And it's going to cost $10,000.
Oh, that port injection is just...
Direct injection sucks. And the thing that they did to the vehicle I have, you know which one I have? The V6,
yeah.
They changed it from multi-port fuel injection to direct injection.
That sucks.
Now I will not be buying any of those years of vehicles. I may have to start buying used if I need to replace it. I'm holding on to this one as long as I can because it's got exactly everything I need on it. The CAFE standard, the direct injection, the turbochargers, all that stuff is crap. And that's supposed to help increase mileage, and it doesn't do garbage. And these auto stops and all this other crap, please stop doing this. I want a car that was like they used to buy in the 80s.
Well.
I'm sorry.
No, it's fine. So it's what I was getting at, you know, was about the economy. It's bad news. The automobile industry is murdering itself with people that like cars. I love cars.
Yeah.
I think cars are the coolest damn things in the world.
How fast did we want our licenses when we turned 16?
Oh, dude.
Please. We couldn't wait. Couldn't wait to get to the DMV for my
car. Oh. I was chomping at the bit to learn, you know, to get on the road. I mean, right. When I was a kid, I was driving stuff around all the time.
Right.
You know, having access to like farm equipment, I was driving stuff. So I thought that was pretty cool.
Yeah.
But anyhow, so we're going to move on. Let's talk about the market a little bit. So I looked at the half ton pickup truck or the 3/4 tons.
Right.
Do you know you can buy a 3/4 ton V8, like a Dodge Gasser or a Ford Gasser for a lot less money than a half ton pickup truck?
Yeah.
With a big V8 in it?
Yeah, you can.
With a big fucking V8 in it, like right. A 400 cubic inch V8.
And what can you tow with a 3/4 ton? Everything.
Everything. But a 1 ton. Oh, well.
So we have.
Tow with same.
Yeah, we have 1 tons for the fire department. And sure. They're high up. They got 4-wheel drive. They are powerful. They can haul a lot. They can tow a lot. Really cool vehicles. And they drive pretty much the same. It's a truck. Drives like a truck.
They drive like you're sitting in your living room.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's you know, it's a nice vehicle, and there's nothing wrong with the V8. I love V8.
Oh, it's fantastic. Well, the problem is, you know, with these big pickup trucks, you can get them. They're huge. They're just gigantic. They're the same size as a half ton, but they sit up a little higher. They ride a little harder. You know, whatever. They're a better value than the half ton pickup trucks, right?
Mm-hmm.
They hold their value.
Correct.
They hold their value.
And they're less expensive than what people or what the auto industry thinks you want.
Right. Exactly. Where the ecological nightmare happens is what they've done to diesel vehicles in this.
That is a sad, sad day. Let me tell you, when I first started on the ambulance business, we had V8 turbocharged engines, diesel.
7.3 power stroke, baby.
Those ambulances were awesome. They ran forever. They got decent gas mileage, and they had the power. Now we're in ambulances that are powered by V8s or V10s, and they're just dogs. And the gas gauges just, you could see the gas gauge move when you're driving down the highway. Have you ever seen a gas gauge move without staring at it? No. This one moves. You can see it.
What kind of mileage are we getting? We're getting a gallon a mile, baby. we're driving the boat, right? A gallon a mile.
Well,
look, they've destroyed the diesel market with this DEF shit, this urea injection that they put into the exhaust to
cow piss.
You know, something like that. And it's so stupid. It's all so stupid.
They stopped making the diesel engines because of that.
Oh, they're still making diesels.
Well, no, they don't make them in the ambulances anymore.
They don't offer them in the chassis anymore. No,
no, and that's the same thing with the with your RVs. They've gasoline powered RVs. They don't get any mileage at all. And you're stopping at every other rest stop to get your RV down the road.
It's all such a false economy.
It is. So between the 401ks that you'll never be able to touch. To the car industry that you want to get that vehicle that's utility wise, and it's a good value and it's going to last. None of those things happen anymore.
Well, wait a minute. Let's talk about that for a quick second. Sure. Did you hear what happened to Hertz, the Hertz automobile rental company?
Yeah, they invested in all that green BS electrified vehicles, and no one's running them because where are you going to charge them? And if you don't charge them before you bring them back to the airport. Or wherever you're renting them, forget it. You get charged for having to charge it. It was like $100.
Nobody wants to put up with that shit.
No.
And what they realize is they paid like $75,000 a copy for these cars, right?
Wasted.
Some absurd amount of money. They bought like 100,000 vehicles. Lo and behold, they've lost 2/3 of their value in just a couple of years. But some of them barely have any use. And the maintenance costs are bankrupting the company.
Yep.
What does that tell you?
Because the batteries, and not only that, but how many car fires they have a year, you know, in their lots when those things do a runaway, you know.
Well, let me tell you something. If you have to replace the battery pack in a Tesla, you're looking at tens of thousands of dollars.
Right. And where are you going to throw these batteries? All you greenies out there who want to protect the environment.
Let's talk about the money.
Yeah. Yeah.
Talk about the money.
How much money? Where are you going to put it? How much is it going to cost to dispose of these things?
Wait till your tree hugging friend, you know, comes home with this brand new Tesla, right?
Yep.
You're sitting in the driveway with your 6-cylinder multi-port fuel injected beauty. Mm-hmm. You know, do you think 6 years later he's going to have the Tesla?
No. Battery's going to be dead. It won't hold a charge.
I bet you're still going to have your multi-port fuel injected 6-cylinder beauty sitting in the driveway.
Yes, I will.
Where's that Tesla going to wind up?
You have to trade it in, I guess. No one's going to take it on trade. Your value is going to be shot.
There's no value.
Right.
It's going to become compost for the landfill because it's made out of forever chemicals, right?
Yep.
And the batteries are toxic waste.
That's correct.
And what can you recycle on a gasoline automobile?
Everything.
Just about everything.
Everything. The metal alone is worth thousands.
Correct.
Steel, magnesium, if your engine block's made out of magnesium. Yeah, sure.
Aluminum.
All those parts can be resold. You know, brakes, you know, depending how good the tires are, all that stuff gets reused.
Motor cores, differentials, there's value in that.
Oh, by the way, did you know that electrified, you know, Teslas and all those cars, they go through tires like there's no tomorrow?
Yes, correct.
Because they're so heavy?
They're very heavy. Yeah.
And the tire, you need like a tow rated tire to carry the weight of a battery around with you?
Those things are absurdly heavy.
Yes. Oh, and which you'll pay, by the way, for registration fees. They'll get you more on the registration for a Tesla than they do for a 3/4 ton or a full ton pickup truck.
Shit.
Because they weigh more. So think about that.
I got a buddy of mine. You'll find this amusing. You know, while we're talking about cars, he's a good friend of mine. I've known the dude for going on forever. Okay. Mm-hmm. He's one of my Minnesota friends. You know, my Minnesota friends are all insane, right?
Different
characters, right? They're all super talented at what they do. They're really smart people and they're just a lot of fun to be around. They're good folks.
You betcha.
You betcha.
You betcha.
So this dude is like the master mechanic.
Mm-hmm.
He's like an ADHD poster child rock star, but he's good at everything he does kind of guy. He's super smart, very talented with his hands. He could do anything.
Right.
His stepson bought an Audi, an A4.
Really?
He has met his match mechanic-wise.
Those cars have to go back to the dealer. BMWs especially, by the way. Have to go back to the dealer. The computers are basically, you can't even bring it down to your local garage because the computers that they use to hook onto it are proprietary.
You even have to reprogram the alternator and recalibrate the computer for the battery voltage drain over time.
Yep.
And it's got to be, it's just, those cars are so intricately complicated. They're impossible to work on. So this dude is like the best at anything, right?
Mm-hmm.
He builds hot rods and he builds motors, and there's nothing this guy can't do. He's just that good at it, right?
Correct.
He's sitting there. He is on the phone with me while he's trying to do something with this Audi for his stepson, who's not helping much, by the way. And every other word was four letters, okay? And so let that be a lesson to everybody. Don't. Don't do it. Don't buy an Audi, man.
So, talking about environmentalists. So I have the opportunity to work with some people for one of the town meetings I go to. And had a very cordial and, you know, respectful conversation with a woman who describes herself as an environmentalist. And I brought up some of the things you brought up just now. How are you going to charge these things? Why, you know, we don't have the electrical infrastructure to do it. By the way, solar panels are only 17% effective here in this area of the upstate New York area, meaning in a 24-hour period, you're only getting power out of them 17% of the time, not to mention the winter time when they're covered with snow or what, you know, even so cold and the sun's not out enough. And I discussed with her also the fact that the wind turbines, these wind farms, they cause more medical issues to people based on pressure differentials, the constant sound, the thuds, migraine headaches, and all, of course, the birds are all dead because the vortices that cause, you know, the wind currents are terrible for the birds, and they get sucked into them and then dead. You get a pile of birds at the bottom. And then I mentioned to her, I said, you know, by the way, when these wind turbines are done, which hold 40 gallons of oil for the turbine, you know, generators, you know,
and once in a while they catch on fire too.
You know? I told her that. I said, you know, if those things catch on fire, it turns into a huge economic or ecological disaster because the oil spills out and into the ground. And when you dispose of these things, they go into the landfill because they're composite materials that they're not biodegradable.
Well, they cannot be recycled.
That's right. And they can't be recycled. So she said to me, she said, really? I said, oh, yeah. I said, I'm all for the environment. I don't want to destroy the environment, but we're all clinging on to this. And then she goes to the oil part of it. I said, sure, we could drill very, very economically and also cleanly. And
sure.
And we talked about CAFE standards on cars, and it's ridiculous what we have to do, but they're much cleaner nowadays. You know, when you have a catalytic converter, it's not stolen from you underneath, you know, in the cities, but you know, then. But you know, the emissions, I wouldn't want to put my mouth around a tailpipe and breathe it, but it's, you know, it's much healthier.
Better than they used to be.
It's much better than they used to be. And they took the lead out of it, which is nice. Right.
Well, the thing about it is here, Bravo, the deal is this. As time has moved on, we have better engineered things to reach more efficient, you know, performance.
Right. And as we've optimized. I was describing it to this environmentalist, the self-proclaimed environmentalist. I said, look, right. I'm all for the environment, but, you know, I like common sense. That's what I told her. I said, I like common sense. And do these things make any common sense to you? They don't make it to me.
No, it doesn't make any sense to me at all. I mean, it does not make any sense to me at all. Do I think that there is a place for both, you know, alternative energies, like let's say wind? Is there a place for it? I think there is.
Far away from human populations, yes.
Well, okay. Fair enough, but there are ways to do it. There are vertical turbines too, and there's all sorts of different wind technologies out there that are very efficient for, say, you've got a cabin out in the middle of fuck all.
Okay.
Yeah. All right.
Yep. You're on top of a mountain. Yep.
Yes. Somewhere, wherever. Right.
Yep.
You put up a vertical power generator and it powers your small cabin. Right.
Right.
Or say you only use it once in a while and you think solar is the answer, you know, for areas where you need power that is remote and inaccessible, I think it makes an awful lot of sense.
Oh, the batteries are something else. You know, the storage. Well,
batteries are the power storage is always the challenge, right?
Correct.
Generating it is relatively easy. It's the storage.
Right. Now, if you're living out in the desert, okay. You know, solar makes sense.
Solar all day, man. You probably never need to do anything else.
No. I know a lot of people that live out in the desert and they have solar on their roofs and they're making a killing. That's great.
But I know somebody who took a 60-acre lot and turned it into a solar farm and is making quite a bit of money every month on the rent from that piece of property.
Yeah.
Pays more than farming.
Sure. But so, I'm not convinced, you know, the solar panels are an environmental disaster waiting to happen because those are also made with cobalt and rare earth metals and they're hazardous materials to begin with.
They can't be recycled.
And those can't be recycled either. So when it comes down to common sense, sometimes in the environmental world it's not so common. Right? Of course, right.
Well, you know, let's take for example, what happened to do you remember a couple of years ago when Texas had that gigantic cold snap and ice storm?
Oh yes,
and it took out all the wind and the solar, and took out all that took out all the microgrids that they put up. Remember that?
Oh yeah, and people were freezing to death because they had no heat.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Because they had electric heat, by the way, which is not so cool. But
well, I have electric heat in my house too in a cold climate. So
yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Right?
So, you know, solar and wind and all of those alternative energy sources, EVs and whatever, I think they all have their place, right? But I don't think they're ready.
I think an electric golf cart has its place. If you're playing golf and you just want to plug it in, not use gas, okay, great.
I like the gas. I like the gas ones better.
I know. I'm just saying. I don't think electrified vehicles are at that point yet. I think we're better off with hydrogen cells. I think we're better off with other alternatives. I'd like to see us go towards more nuclear, small micro reactors that could easily power small towns and the vicinity, no problem with one of those things. And there's no chance for a meltdown because there's not enough of the stuff to melt down. And it does very well. I like to see us move towards fusion, you know, cold fusion, which is getting close. But like I said, putting all their money into solar and electrified vehicles is dumb. It just doesn't make any sense.
Well, just think of all the energy it takes to dig up all the shit that they need to build these things.
Well, you're not using energy, you're using kids in these places like China.
In Africa, yes, yeah. they're using kids, but in some places they're mining properly, correct, with machinery and doing it, you know, the mechanized way. Think of the energy that they're using to produce the materials that are needed to produce an electric vehicle.
And you know who they is? China. Which China, I don't want to support them at all. Thank you very little.
I don't want to support them at all. I don't know. I miss the days of the gas golf cart. I think those days are over, man.
No, they still make them. They still have gas golf carts.
I don't think you can get them out in a public golf course anymore, though. That's my point.
In New York, they want to have electrified, get battery powered lawnmowers and battery powered weed eaters and battery powered this and that, you know, and those batteries only last so long. And when you charge them too much, they don't hold their charge any much either. So anyway, there you have it. Another wonderful discussion between two lifelong friends that love to talk about all those things that we've had experience dealing with. And we'd like to share it with you. So this is what we do. Normally we just call ourselves on the phone and we start talking. So we're glad you could join us. You can always follow us. You follow me here at Signal 50 Podcast on X. I'm on Getter at Bravo Golf 592. And you can find me on True Social, where I follow President Trump with admiration and honor, on Truth at Bravo Golf 592. My friend here, Alpha Sierra 288, you can find him only on X because he doesn't have time for anything else.
Yeah, exactly. I do not follow anybody with admiration anywhere. Except on Twitter. Maybe that's right. One or two people.
So if you can, please subscribe and please give us what you think of what we're talking about. We'd love to hear from you. Thank our buddies there for me, Alpha.
I'd like to thank our soldiers, sailors, and airmen that protect us 24/7, 365. They're serving around the world. Be careful out there. It's a dangerous place. We appreciate what you do. Our police, fire, and EMS personnel that are working with us at a local and state level. Keep safe out there. It's really really easy to get hurt. So keep an eye on your six. Watch each other's backs, people.
That's right. Until the next time when my friend and I get together to chat, we'll see you the next time here on the Signal 50 podcast. Thanks for listening. Take care.